Well, hello and welcome to the Smells Like Money podcast. Join me, Suzanne Chin Taylor, the doo-doo diva, as I interview guests who are making an impact on how we manage and operate systems for conveying and treating wastewater. As a veteran of the wastewater, trenchless, and civil infrastructure industry, each week I'll be bringing you industry know-how from industry pros who know how. Join me each week as I speak with representatives of organizations that are utilizing disruptive or new technologies and methods, and executives who are excited to share how to be successful and sustainable in our vital industry. So whether you want to learn about the latest trends in technology, in treatment or trenchless, gain tips on training and retaining great talent, or simply how to be more efficient, productive, or profitable, this podcast is for you. Ready? Let's dive right in. Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of the Doo-Doo Divas Smells Like Money podcast. Today, we have a very interesting and I would have to say unique guest to the podcast, and we are visiting with Robin Deal, who is the product manager of AquaPure. This is a mouthful for Hubbard Hall, which is a very long-standing chemical company. And with that, welcome to the show, Robin.
Hi, thank you for having me today.
Well, we're going to do a dive into something really interesting, but just to frame this so people understand why, okay, I would want to have a product manager from a chemical company come onto the show. Tell us a little bit about your very unique background and how you wound up in industrial wastewater treatment.
So I got my start in industrial wastewater treatment in the early 2000s. I was working for a very large metal finishing company, and I worked in their packing department, and I absolutely hated it. It was probably the most boring thing you can imagine doing, standing there in one spot all day, putting parts in a box. So I told my boss I was going to look for another job. And she said, why don't you check our job board? You don't want to lose your vacation and your benefits. See if there's just a different area you'd like to work in. And so I checked our job board at that time. And the only job that I really thought would be interesting was they needed a new wastewater operator. Now, I knew nothing about wastewater operations, metal finishing operation, wastewater treatment. But I said, that sounds interesting. And so I signed for it and I was hired for that position. And I was the first female wastewater operator that company had ever hired. So that's what got me into wastewater. And the very first thing that we did, my first day of training, was a bench test. So we took this really nasty, dark green, nickel-laden, chrome-laden wastewater, and we took a 1,000-mil sample of it. And my supervisor slash trainer, he said, now, Robin, what if I could tell you we can make this to where you could drink it if you wanted to? And I was like, no way. There's no way. And so we added some chemicals. We did some pH adjustment. We added some flocculant. And voila, there was no more nickel or chrome in that wastewater. And it just blew my mind. I was like, oh my God, how did that happen? And so here we are 13 years later, and I still love, absolutely love bench testing and cleaning up metal finishing wastewater. It just blows my mind to see it happen.
So when we talk about industrial wastewater, and I mean, and how they treat it, because it's on-site, obviously water is then going to get discharged to the public system where they're going to do something with it or recycle it. What are some of the things that come about in industrial or that type of, when you were saying, well, we talked offline about this, I had no idea that there were so many unique contaminants that we typically will see in an organic wastewater stream, but they are also inherent to metal finishing. And I thought that that was really interesting and unique. So tell our audience about that they may not be aware of, that some of the things that actually metal finishing produces.
So when we talk about metal finishing, we mean everything from hot black oxide to plating chemistry to paint prep for painting for your automobile. So these all use different types of chemistry. Things like ammonia might be in the chemistry used to plate the chrome on your fender for your car. There might be phosphorus from a zinc or an iron or a manganese phosphate coating on that same car. There's obviously nickel, chrome, zinc, lead, cadmium, but a lot of times there's also oils and greases. One of the largest contributors, and this will really blow your mind, is aluminum can manufacturing. When they draw aluminum cans, they have to use stearates to get the aluminum to draw and elongate to make a can. So those stearates wind up in water because you have to clean it off of the can. Obviously, you wouldn't think about picking up a Pepsi or a Coke and think that before that liquid went in it, it was covered in basically grease.
Okay.
So all of those contaminants wind up in metal finishing wastewater, and we have to remove them before we discharge that water back into either the public system or larger facilities, even discharge directly back into the environment.
Wow. Okay. And so when you were saying with those oils, that it actually creates its own version of fog.
Yes.
And does that impact, you know, like a facility's internal piping as well as, you know, what they're doing at the plant? Or is it more that you're just dealing with it at their on-site tertiary treatment facility where it's got a lot of fog?
So we're with pre-treatment, which is what most metal finishers do is pre-treatment. They have to do their own maintenance. It will clog up their pipes, just like it will a sanitary system. So they do have to do routine maintenance, routine cleanups of their pipes, their pumps, and then we have to figure out the best way to remove it from their wastewater, whether it's emulsified or free-floating oils and greases, and even fats. Dye penetrant is made from animal fat, and that's a testing process that aerospace manufacturers have to use to ensure that their coatings are 100% covering the part. You wouldn't want to think of your airplane having a crack in the coating and allowing the colder air to freeze the part and break the plane apart. So they do dye penetrant testing, and then that dye has to be washed off and it goes to wastewater as well.
Wow. We could probably talk for hours about that. I mean, this is like a lot of stuff that, you know, people probably are just absolutely not aware of. And so for you, you know, fast forward. So you left the metal finisher and now you're at Hubbard Hall. And, you know, you told me, which is kind of interesting that, you know, and amazing in this day and age, they are celebrating their 175th anniversary. And I just see that's a big, big milestone. And it's still, I think you shared with me, it's still a family-owned, privately held or family-owned company, or is it publicly traded?
Yes, it is a privately held, family-owned company.
Wow. And you don't see many of those. You know, when a company's been around that long, you know, typically it's been bought out and it's on, you know, either NASDAQ or the stock exchange. So that's really something to be, you know, commended that they've stayed, you know, multi-generations and passing it down. And so tell me a bit about what does Hubbard Hall do, which led us to why we are talking today, in that what they produce and then their mission and where you fit into all of this.
So Hubbard Hall manufactures chemistry for the metal finishing industry. So anything you can imagine, from cleaners to surface preparation, metal removal applications, deburring applications. They manufacture all of that for the metal finishing industry and have been doing it very well since the 50s. originally Hubbard Hall was an apothecary. And from there, they went into manufacturing agricultural chemistry. And in the 50s and 60s, they transferred that business to specifically metal finishing, plating chemistry, metal colorant. In the early 80s, the owner, his name was Mr. Chuck Kellogg, was looking at our industry, and specifically in the metal finishing industry. The Clean Water Act was relatively new at that time. Pre-treatment programs were coming out to the metal finishers that we serviced. And he made a decision. His statement was, we help our customers make this dirty water. We need to help them clean it up. And that's when the AquaPure product line was born. And we started as a company, educating and helping our customers remove the contaminants from their water before they discharged it. So now we fast forward to when I was hired 9.5 years ago. The statement was, we're going to continue doing this, and we're going to do it in a sustainable fashion. Hubbard Hall's mission has always been to leave the best status that we can for the next generation. So Chuck unfortunately passed away, but his daughter Molly Kellogg runs the company now, and her goal is to leave the company to her children and to leave our customers in the best shape they can be for the next 20, 30, 40, 100 years.
Wow. I love that. And so, you know, this AquaPure, so how does it actually, how are you working with your customers to help them with cleaning up or getting rid of the byproduct of, I just love that they've taken a very circular approach of, we're selling you something to help you make a product and make a profit from that product. And then there's a byproduct, and that byproduct isn't so nice for the planet. It's almost like that, you know, people, planet, profit, you know, the triple bottom line mindset that they've adopted. How are they now? What do they do to help with the actual cleanup? Is it consulting? Is it delivering a product? Is it, you know, meeting with them, looking at what they're facing in their processes? You know, how are they actually, as you said, his mission was, we've got to help them clean it up or find a way to clean it up. How do you do that?
So we do it a couple of different ways, right? We're in a very unique position in that we know what chemistry our customers are using in process that's going to end up in their wastewater. So we took a approach. Molly has made our mission statement to be do more with less, less chemistry, less physical labor, less hazards, do more with less. So we, from the wastewater standpoint, we take a holistic approach to our customers. We look at all of their processes, every single thing they're doing, and we help them streamline it and either reduce the amount of wastewater that's coming into their wastewater treatment facility by things like chemical cleaning and reuse on the line itself. Evaporative technology that we partner with other companies to help form so that water is sent back into process and doesn't come to wastewater. And in the cases where they actually have wastewater to treat, we chemically or biologically treat the contaminants for removal. A lot of times we do hydroxide precipitation, which involves a coagulant and a flocculant and pH adjustment. But there are cases where we do that. We get all the metals out and they still have phosphorus. They still have nitrogen. They still have oils and grease and BOD. So then we use a bioaugmentation and use the same thing that your city uses to treat their wastewater. We use bacteria to remove those organic contaminants.
Wow. So if you were to point out, if somebody wasn't working with your company, or is addressing, wants to address some of these issues, what are some key areas or processes or things that they should be, you know, taking a really close look at if they're interested in adopting basically the Hubbard Hall philosophy of doing more with less? What are some key, you know, like hot spots to look at first?
Look at your manufacturing processes. Look at how much, it blows my mind how many people, how many companies do not realize how much water they use. For example, from start to finish, take a guess at how much water it takes to make one automobile.
Gallons?
40,000 gallons.
Wow.
So if you're manufacturing a part for an automobile, that water contributes. Think of all the components of an automobile that are metal that had to be worked on. And all the water it takes, because you have to rinse those parts after every step. So the first thing you do, the very first thing, is look at your water footprint. How much water are you actually using to make your part? We have one customer that knows to a T for every gallon of water that leaves their facility post-treatment, it's their effluents going out the door, how much money they made from the parts that ran through that gallon of water. And to me, that's just phenomenal. If you want to talk about lean management and true understanding of your cost to produce, you have to factor in your water.
Wow. My mind is still like reeling about, how many gallons was that again?
40,000 gallons.
I can't even wrap my head around how much water that is for one car. Wow. Wow. So when we talk about wastewater, we're getting a little bit back to you. When we talk about what makes it different, you know, industrial treatment versus, you know, your standard, you know, municipal treatment, sanitary treatment, you know, from the human body. What are some of the biggest differences? And then, you know, what has made this so interesting for you as a career?
So the largest by far difference is the metals that Metal Finishing puts in water. When you look at industrial wastewater treatment, a lot of people automatically gravitate toward the food industry or the pulp and paper, oil and gas, textiles.
Pharmaceuticals even, anything.
Pharmaceuticals. Most people don't think about metal finishing. It's a very small piece of the pie and is probably the most complicated portion of the pie, because you have chelation, you have such a wide range of job shops that you may look at anything from explosive wastewater from ammunition manufacturers to radioactive wastewater from the nuclear fuel rod manufacturing processes, right? So that, to me, every single day is a different day. It doesn't matter what yesterday was like or what yesterday's customer did. Today, I'm working on something totally different, totally new. And it's a puzzle. It just, to me, it engages my mind on such a level that standing there packing those boxes every single day never did.
Wow. Wow. And so your role there for Aquapure, obviously you're not on the line doing wastewater operation anymore like you did. So, but you're understanding. So you're, I take it, you're meeting with wastewater operators and having to deal with their challenges. So what is your actual role now in managing that product? And I'd like to dive in a little bit. What actually is Aquapure and what does it do? Like, where does it fit in the manufacturing process for metal finishing?
So today, as an Aquapure product manager, I manage the chemical product line. I look at formulations, how to save costs, pricing, that portion of product management. I also manage a team. So I send people out to different customers across the United States to problem solve at the customers. And then also do project management. So if we have a company that calls me and says, hey, Robin, we're going to build a brand new facility. We're going to run 120, 130,000 gallons a day. We need a wastewater system. I manage the connections between that company, the proper equipment manufacturers, their chemical usage, the goals, their ESG goals that they may have around whether they want to recycle their water for internal use, whether they want to discharge. I connect them to their pre-treat coordinators or the states. If they're going to be a direct discharge, we help kind of coordinate all that. So I wear a lot of hats right now.
And this is interesting because, you know, just as women in the field of wastewater, as you know, it's, you know, we're still in the minority and we want to start encouraging more women to enter this field. And this was why it was so great to bring you onto the show, because you started in one way, but you took that career as an operator, but you've spun it into so many other different things. And so, you know, I want to leave, you know, today's episode with that industrial wastewater treatment. If you don't, if you're interested in this field and maybe you don't want to be involved in the municipal side of it, but you would prefer to be in private sector, that this is a way to get involved with wastewater that isn't government, that leads to many interesting facets. And like you were saying, every day is different. You'll never be bored, but it can open up doors to lots of different things that you can do related to this subject. So it's not just being a plant operator for the rest of your life, as you know, yeah, you've proven. And so it is a really great career. And so I want to continue this conversation with you, and I'm going to do a little bit of, you know, spoiler, no spoiler alert, but a little teaser, because one of the other things that's facing metal finishers, industrial treatment, you know, as a whole, it's just a big, big topic right now, is the subject of PFAS. And so when Robin comes back on our next episode, we're going to be talking about how that's being addressed in industrial treatment, what her firm is doing, and some, you know, advice that she can offer, things that we can be looking at, research studies that are going on in how we're going to be combating and dealing with this. You know, it is becoming a, what do we call, a contaminant of concern, and just to not be scared, and that there are going to be ways that we're going to be able to deal with this that do not cause more harm than good, as we were talking about earlier, is doing more with less, but also that the byproduct of whatever we do does not create another set of byproducts that are as harmful or more harmful than what we started out with in our initiative. And so with that, Robin, thank you for coming on to the show. And if people want to know more about you, they can connect with you on LinkedIn, Robin Deal, and more about the company. Where can they learn more about your organization?
Always visit our website, hubbardhall.com. Make sure you put Hubbard-Hall. Otherwise, you're going to wind up at the frat house that is also called Hubbard Hall.
Okay. So, Devina, Hubbard, H-U-B-B-A-R-D, -HALL.com, because I don't think the frat house is really going to be able to help you much with wastewater treatment. I tell you how to have a really good party on Saturday night, but definitely not about wastewater treatment. So thank you again. And I look forward to continuing this dialogue on our next episode. And for those of you tuning in, thank you so much for being here. And until next time, keep it flowing. Thanks so much for joining me, the Doo-Doo Diva, on this week's episode of Smells Like Money. What stood out to you this week? Share your takeaways by leaving me a review. You can find out more about the new technologies, creating sustainable solutions, and insights on how to succeed in our vital industry by subscribing to the show. Whether you want to learn about the latest trends in wastewater infrastructure, treatment, or trenchless, you've got it all right here at Smells Like Money. If you're an industry expert and would like to be considered as a guest for the show, book a quick chat with me by visiting calendly.com/thetuitgroup/B-A-podcast www.smells-like-money.com/guest, or simply click the link in the show notes below. Until next week, a big shout out to all my industry friends and those who will be. You are my superheroes. Thanks for tuning in, keeping it flowing, and we'll see you all next week.